Thankful for all who have come out to the meeting today. I want to speak on a little Sunday school story found in 2 Kings in chapter 4. En el Antiguo Testamento, segundo de Reyes, capítulo 4. Comenzando con versículo 1. 2 Kings in chapter 4, starting from verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets to Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" And she said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and pour out into all the vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, and brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. When you come to this little story that we find over here in 2 Kings in chapter 4, there's a group of people who are called the sons of the prophets. And these were Jewish men who, as you might say, were studying the word of God. They were students, you might say, in a college-type environment. They were learning from the word of God. They were learning from those who were more spiritual than themselves. But one of them passes away. And when he passed away, he left a great debt behind. And this presented a tremendous problem due to the fact that back in those days when you couldn't pay your debt, the creditors, they didn't have phones back then to tell you, "Hey, you know what, you got to pay up." The creditors would come to your house and knock on your door and take what you have in your house. And they had every right to take stuff from you, including taking your own children to be their servants or their slaves for themselves, because you couldn't pay. And so they would take your children as payment for themselves, so that they would have them work for them. And that's how they would pay their debt. So here's this woman, and her husband passes away, and he's left her a widow with great debt. But she faces yet another problem, because she's not only left alone because of her husband passing away, but because she's a woman back in that culture, she's not working. There's usually women back in this time period, if they were to seek employment, there really wouldn't be employment for them. So she is in a predicament she can't get herself out of. She's stuck. You know, friend of the meeting today, I want you to stop and consider, first of all, my first little point is this. Her husband died. Her husband died. I have a family member who died yesterday morning, just recently. You're going to die. I'm going to die. We just don't know when right now, but it's sure. You're not going to live forever. And I know that when you're young, you kind of think to yourself, you know, well, death is for other people. It's way out there somewhere in the future. And maybe when I get old, then, you know, I'll start thinking about the things of God and getting ready to get saved and for eternity and all of those things. But I'm young right now, and I'm strong right now, and I have the whole world out in front of me, and I can worry about the things of God some other time. You could think that way when you're young. Can I just tell you, that's a very foolish way of thinking. Because a pattern that you're thinking is a life that will lead you into a wasted life, if you think that way. You won't live life to its fullest if you reject Christ from the very beginning. You'll live a life that's very empty and meaningless and full of confusion. And then if you do end up getting saved when you're older, you'll think to yourself, "Why didn't I get saved younger? What a fool I was to build my house on the sand." Can I just tell you, as you're young, you think to yourself, death is somewhere way out there and I don't need to worry about it right now. But you can die when you're young. But what's important is that you're ready. Get the things right with God when you're young. It's important that you're ready. What if you were to die tomorrow? What if you were to die tonight? Where would you be? And when you put your head down on the pillow, if there was an earthquake that hit, let's say the big one hit tonight, you don't know when that's going to hit. They've been predicting that since I was you young people's ages. You know what all that does with the faults is increases the pressure that's between the fault line. It hasn't happened yet, and more time that goes by, the more pressure increases on the fault line, and when that thing slips, it's going to be big. It's going to be big. If the big one hit, and your house fell on you and you died, doesn't matter what age you are. Your house isn't going to go, oh, she's young, I'll just fall over there. It's going to fall on you. Young people die. Okay? There is such thing as nuclear warfare. We have submarines out there right now that have enough nuclear warheads on them to easily destroy half this world on one submarine. If we get into some sort of a nuclear fight, that nuclear warfare is not going to say, well, they're young, don't touch them. Can I tell you, death is a reality, and eternity is a reality, and heaven is a reality, but hell is a reality. And think about it, friend in the meeting today, don't try to push this idea of salvation off simply because I'm young. You will die, you will go out into eternity, but is it well with your soul? Think about these things, because they're very real. You can hide in your little shell and create a virtual world that really doesn't exist in your own mind and fool yourself into believing that you're safe, but you're not. Think about where you will be in eternity. This man, he died. Fortunately for his case, it appears that he was ready to go to heaven. He was ready to be with the Lord in heaven and his God. But he left behind a great debt for his wife and children. I want you to think about that debt for a moment. Because you and I are in debt when it comes to God. We have a sin debt when it comes to God. And we have no way to pay. And we're just like this woman here. And we have no way to pay off our debt with God. People say, you know, when I come to God, I want to be able to clean up my life a little bit before I get to God. I think I need to straighten out this, or I need to change that, or I need to do the other thing over here. And they try to clean up their life to get to God. Can I just tell you, there's nothing you can do to clean up your life to make you ready to get to God. Because you're in debt. You're in debt. You can't clean your life on your own. You have to come to God the way you are. In all of your sin, no matter how horrible your sin might be, you have to come to God where you are. And you could sit there and you could think to yourself, but you don't know my life, and you don't know the sins that I commit, and the things that go on in my mind that shouldn't be there, and the things that I do when I shouldn't be doing them. You don't know how sinful I am. Oh yes, you might think that I'm okay up here in front, but you don't know about these painful things that are happening in my life behind closed doors. No, I don't know about those things, but God does. And none of them are hidden to the Lord. Not one of them. And it doesn't matter how bad you are today. I want you to stop in your tracks and think. It is amazing that God still loves you, no matter how bad you are. And no matter how bad you think you are. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that includes you. No matter how dirty you feel, God loves you. But you know, there's the other extreme of people who think, I'm too good to get saved. Why would God do anything bad to me? You know what? I mean, I go to church all the time. I give money to the poor. I do this. I do this. I do this. I've been baptized. I've, you know, all of this stuff. And they start naming all of their righteousnesses. And, you know, I don't need that thing of salvation because I'm too good to be saved. Wherever you are in that spectrum is too bad or too good. You have a debt with God. This woman had a debt. And she couldn't pay it on her own. And your debt with God is one that you can't pay on your own either. She had a debt. And she doesn't know what to do. So she does the right thing. She goes to the man of God. What is the man of God going to tell me? We're going to go to Elisha and see what he says. How am I going to fix this problem? And again, when it goes back to your debt of sin, you have to go to the right place to get a solution for your sin. You can't go to yourself. You can't go to a church. You can't go to an organization. You have to go to the Word of God. What does the Bible say? I want you to think about how shocking it would be for people who are in religious organizations right here, right now, as we speak, and they're being told, live a good life and you'll go to heaven. And then they die. And they drop into hell, confused. I don't get it. I lived a good life. That's what I was told. A good life is good, but that's not currency to purchase your ticket for heaven. A good life is good, keep living a good life, but that's not currency to purchase your ticket for heaven. And this woman, she had a problem, she had a debt, and she was going to go to the right source. She wasn't going to go to the wrong source for an answer to her problem. She's going to go to the right source, and that's the man of God who could have an answer from the Lord. And when it comes to your debt of sin, you have to come to the Word of God and no other place. He dies, leaves a debt. And the creditors are coming, as it were, and beginning to knock on her door and say, "We're going to claim your children if you can't pay up." She's scared. What does the man of God say? He comes in with a solution. He says, "I want you to go and borrow all of the vessels that you can around your neighborhood. Do you want you go to your next door neighbors and knock on their door and say, 'Listen, do you have some vessels?'" I want to tell you something about the kitchen. The part of the kitchen I don't like is the Tupperware drawer. You can never organize that thing. They don't fit. They're awkward. And you try to pull the one you want and all the others collapse. So if somebody knocked on my door and said, "Do you got some vessels?" I'd say, "Sure, here you go. Take those ones." Full supply. But that's what she's doing. She's going around and she's knocking on all of the doors. "You got a vessel? Do you have a vessel? Can I borrow this vessel? And it says, "Borrow, not a few." So she's going around as far as she can and bringing in all these vessels. We don't know how many she borrowed because the number's not here. But it must have been a tremendous amount. And you're going to see why at the end of the story. But it must have been a huge amount. But the man of God said, "Don't borrow a few." There were some vessels that were large. There were some vessels that were small. There were some vessels that were fat. There were some vessels that were skinny. There were some vessels that were this color and some vessels that were that color. But they all were going to have the same contents on the inside. You know what that teaches me? God is into saving everyone. God would not have that anybody should perish. No matter how big or small you are, no matter how fat or skinny you are, no matter what category you put yourself in this world, rich or poor or educated or foolish or whatever you might think, God is interested in saving everybody. Salvation, the contents that's inside, the oil, it's the power of the Holy Spirit of God is what the Bible teaches. The oil is a picture of the Spirit of God living inside. The contents is the same. The container is different, but the contents inside is the same. God is interested in saving everybody. So there's not going to be a soul in hell that'll be able to say, "It's God's fault that I'm here." And can I clearly say that there's not going to be a soul in hell that will clearly be able to say, "I'm not here because I wasn't elected or chosen by God. See, God chose all of these ones, but didn't choose me. And because he didn't choose me, I'm in hell now and it's his fault." Not one soul in hell will be able to say that, because the gospel message is for the whosoever will, and that includes you. And the only way a person could drop into hell will never be God's fault. It'll be ours. Our responsibility, because God is into saving the big and the small. God's into saving all the people from around the world. It's for the whosoever will. The contents on the inside is the same. There's a beautiful picture here. I'll just mention it and keep going. And that is this, that each one of those vessels were to be filled to their max capacity, not halfway. You know, when a person gets saved, they're completely saved, completely through and through. I mean, there's no more room left for anything else. The Holy Spirit of God has filled their life, and now they have a different purpose. But I want you to look at something else. The change between an empty vessel and a full vessel is a change that's an inside change, not an outside change. And while the religious world all around us wants to change the exterior, God's message of the gospel comes and changes the interior. And he starts from the inside, and he works out, changing the heart through repentance and the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He starts on the inside. These vessels were empty and then they became full. What was the difference? He's starting from the inside and the contents. So there they are, and she just has this one container and it's got a little bit of oil, but she's got a whole bunch of other containers that are all empty, and she picks up the one container and she pours into this one and it fills up. I don't know how big her container was. Just think you have a jarra in your hand or a jug or even, you know, one of those cute little mugs. I don't know what it was that she had full of oil. And you come up to a drum that's totally empty and you just start pouring. And you don't stop until it's full. And you go, "Okay, next." And she pours into this one and then she pours into that one. And you know, the just contents kept coming out of that thing. I don't know. Every time, so long as there was an empty vessel in that house, there was contents in whatever jar she had, that whatever vessel she had in her hand, there was contents in there. And she'd pour, and she'd pour, and she'd pour. That'd be an amazing thing to watch. That'd be an amazing thing to watch. Before that happens, she tells her sons, shut the door. The prophet had said, shut the door. She's not out at the marketplace going, watch this, everybody. Crowd around. Look at how great this is. I mean, that would have been something to watch, right? But she says, shut the door. This is a personal matter between me and God. And friend of the meeting today, if you're not saved, please understand. If I could save you, I would. I wouldn't let anybody in this room leave until I've saved you if I could. If I could stop you and put my hands on you and do something for you or whatever, I'd make it happen so that I couldn't get to heaven and say, you know, that person who sat here or there in the gospel meeting, they left unsaved and it's my fault. I wouldn't be able to say that. Because why? Salvation is a personal matter between you and God. As it were, the door is shut. The outside world's not to see. It's between you and God. You know what that means, friend of the meeting today? Listen carefully. If you're not saved right now, you can get saved in the seat you sit in, and the person sitting right next to you wouldn't even know it. So let me just stop right here and ask this question. Are you saved? No, I mean, are you really saved? I'm not talking about what you say to your Sunday school teacher or what you say to your parents or what you say to the elders of the assembly. I'm saying, are you really saved? If God stood before you and he looked at you and he said, are you saved? What answer would you give him? Knowing you couldn't fool him, no matter how hard you tried, what would you tell him? Are you saved? Do you have a real moment in your life when you came to know Christ as your Savior because you remember a time when the door was, as it were, shut and you settled cuentas, you settled the matter between you and God alone? The door is shut. But I want you to notice what happens next. This is a pretty powerful part of the story because she's supposed to take all of the things that she, these empty vessels that she has filled, and she's supposed to go sell them. She goes and sells these things. Can you imagine trying to sell this oil? It's the best oil you'll get. It's from out of this world. Can you imagine trying to sell that stuff? People wouldn't believe you. So you just have to say it's oil for sale and settle for that, because that people will believe. But she sold what was there and what the Lord had provided. And here's where the amount comes in. Because you say, the prophet had said, don't borrow a few. You borrow a lot. And this is where the amount comes in. How many vessels did she borrow? Enough to sell oil to where her whole debt was totally paid off. And not only did it pay off, but it was enough money for her and her sons to live for the rest of their lives without any employment. Wow. Talk about an all-sufficient quantity of money. What would you do with that kind of money if it was placed right in front of you? I think your average American through a lifetime will earn anywhere between $3 and $4 million if you put it all together. What if God just gave you $3-4 million as a kid? Said, here it is. It's what you got for the rest of your life. Would you know how to manage that? Wow. But the point here is, getting back to our story, the point here is, what God gives is all sufficient. It's all you need. It's everything. And it will not only pay your debt of sin and get that matter straight with God so that you can say, my sins have been all washed away and I'm clean. And I remember that day when that debt was paid off. I want to say when that credit card was paid off. But when that debt was paid off, I remember that day. It's done. But the blessing from the oil didn't just suffice for the debt. The blessing from the oil sufficed for the rest of their lives. And you know, if you're a Christian today and you know Christ as your personal Savior and you have a relationship with God, you know that what I'm going to say is true. You wouldn't exchange that relationship for anything this world has. Because a relationship with God and a walk with the Lord is sufficient. Why? There's a meaning to life now. There's a meaning to life now. Because why? The oil has been poured in and it has brought rich blessings into my life. You could be sitting there and thinking to yourself, no, I don't want to get saved because it's a boring thing. I don't want to get saved because then my life becomes black and white. I don't want to get saved because I can't this and I can't this and I can't this and I can't that. Stop and think clearly. I'll just tell you, stop and think clearly. Okay? So you get saved. And God starts putting convictions, real life convictions on your heart. Like, no, you shouldn't be watching that rated R movie. Like, no, you shouldn't be going off with those friends. Like, no, you shouldn't. He starts putting real life convictions on, and he starts forming and shaping your character into something absolutely beautiful and useful for God. You can't get anything better than that. So you don't get saved because you don't want God to form your life, and then you drop into hell. Is that worth it? No. No. God wants to take your life and do something with it. Whatever dreams you have of your tomorrow, whatever dreams you have of when I grow up, I want to be this or that or a nurse or a fireman or whatever. I don't know what dreams you have. You know, as a kid, people say that all the time. I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? Some guy told me once I'd be a man before my mother, and that happened. But what do you want to be when you grow up? And the kids say, oh, I want to be this and I want to be that and everything. Can I ask you, are you willing, especially you young people, listen carefully, are you willing to take something little like your life and exchange it for something big like what God can do with you? Because God is in the business of taking little things and making them big. God can take the Lord could take the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and feed 5,000 people. And whatever dreams you have of your life, if you put God on the outside of those dreams, I want to tell you, you're going to wind up with something little. But when you put your life in the hands of God, you can wind up with something big. Because God is into taking the nothing and making something. There was nothing there in Genesis 1, and he said, let there be light, and there it was. God is into the business of making the little and making big out of it. This debt was paid. Not just the debt, but for the rest of their life, they could live on the blood. How many vessels came in? How many vessels? I don't know. There's no number that's here. But it must have been an overwhelming amount of vessels. And I don't know, but there must have been several drums in there because that's a lot. That's a lot. Can you imagine what kind of story you'd have on your lips if you were this lady? And you're going to go turn back the vessels. If you come back with my Tupperware, I'd just say you can have it. But what kind of story would you have on your lips as you're turning the vessels back? What kind of testimony would you have? It'd be kind of hard to keep your mouth shut. It'd be kind of hard to say, you know, thanks for the vessel, here it is, bye. Without saying, do you know what the Lord did in my life? Do you know what the Lord did through this? And the blessing he gave to me, I want to share it with you. I want you to know about how big this is. This is a big deal. It'd be hard to take those vessels back to those neighbors without sharing your story, right? And same thing with those of us who are saved. Why do we have a gospel meeting like this? Why do we come together? Why do we invite people? Why do we want to share a message that's been a big deal in our life. We're not here just to play meeting and hopefully you enjoy church. We're here because we want to share a message that's been a big deal in our life. It's been life-changing. God of heaven has touched our lives and has changed our lives and has turned us into something useful. So useful, we don't want to go back. We want to be with him. And that desire will be fulfilled when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and takes all of us who are saved home. And that desire will be fulfilled when it's our time to cross into eternity and our day of death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and God knows that date, wherever it is. But that desire will be fulfilled. We'll see him just as he is. We want to go home to heaven. We want to be with him. We want to see what heaven's all about. We want to enjoy heaven. But can I tell you, friend, in the meeting today, the only way you're going to get to heaven is not by trying to change the external of the vessels. There's an internal change that needs to take place, and that's accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, seeing, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve heaven. I deserve hell. But Christ died for me, and when you take that for yourself and you believe that and you trust in that, the power of the Holy Spirit of God comes in and fills you up, and there's never going to be a time when your vessel will be any emptier than any other time. When a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they're filled to the brim from the moment they got saved all the way into eternity. There's no fluctuation in that. There's no such thing as one day being filled with the Spirit and another day not being filled with the Spirit. There's no such thing as that sort of thing. From the moment a person is saved, they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they will stay filled to the brim throughout all eternity, and they won't want to exchange their vessels with your life if you're not saved, they don't want to exchange. We don't, as saved people, don't want to exchange a full vessel for hollow, empty life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the word of God. We thank thee for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work for us at the cross. We thank thee that we can know him as our Savior and our Lord. Made a big change in our life, and truly those of us who are saved can look back on the time before we were saved, understanding that we were lost in our transgressions and our own sin and in our own confusion, and we were trapped in sin. But our only way out was through thy Son and his work at the cross, and as it were, that was the oil that was supplied in great quantity, enough to save us from all of our sin and to give us a completely different life and to give inside of our hearts a hope of heaven and home. We pray for those who are not saved and that perhaps are thinking about their soul salvation. We pray that will make it real to them. Help them to see that to reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is to move quickly into a life that is empty, confused. We pray that they will see that the whole meaning of life is to have Christ in the vessel. So we put all this before thee, praying for thy help and guidance today in thy Son's name. Amen.